Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Some of you might remember the tsunami that struck Japan back in 2011. What you see on your screen there today is just a picture of the devastation that happened there. It was a horrible day. There's a couple more pictures that show basically the same kind of destruction. Can you click through those? I mean, just nothing left where there was once buildings and people and people's lives. I think there's one more picture there. A boat on a road, not where it's supposed to be. You know, water is one of the most destructive forces on the earth. From the very first pages of Genesis, God deployed his word in a battle with water. There was a watery chaos that smothered any possibility of life until God divided it by his word. He fixed the firmament to keep the waters above separated from the waters below, to open up a space in which life could be lived. Well, with those boundaries in place, the water that did exist in the garden was a cool, life-giving mist, no longer the destructive, watery chaos. And then came the fall. After the fall, the waters take on even more ominous tone. When God saw human wickedness increase in exponential proportion, he removed the boundaries of the waters. And we know the story well from Genesis 6. For 40 days, the waters came not only from above, but also from the fountains of the great deep below. The separation that God had effected in day 2 of creation collapsed, and the waters came back to destroy life, except for Noah and his family and the animals on the ark. The sea was no longer merely the force of chaos, but an instrument of God's own wrath and his judgment against sin. And yet, when St. Peter reflects on Noah, he says that Noah was saved by the waters of baptism. The instrument of God's judgment at the same time became the means of salvation for Noah, and he floated on top of the waters in the ark that God told him to build. The sea next figures prominently in the history of God's people in the lesson you heard today, as Moses was leading the Israelites out of bondage in Egypt. Pursued by Pharaoh, the children of Israel encountered an enemy even more ferocious, the sea. The sea. They were trapped. They could not go backwards because they would be impaled by Pharaoh's swords. And they couldn't go forwards because there they would meet a watery grave. But once again, God separated the waters from the waters. And the Israelites went through the middle of the sea on dry ground. In the beginning, God had opened up a space where human life could flourish. And now he opens up a space where the Israelites could escape. Well, as you know, it didn't work out so well for the Egyptians. While the Egyptians followed the Israelites into the sea, God then took away the boundaries separating the waters from the waters. And the sea rushed in and swept away their chariots and drowned the Egyptians. Miriam sang this song, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea." For the Egyptians, the sea was divine wrath. But for the Israelites, it was God's salvation. Jesus battled the sea with his word in his earthly mission as well. One day, as you well know, he was in the back of a boat. A storm arose on the sea, and threatened to destroy the boat, the disciples, and everything that was living there. But Jesus said to the sea, "Be still," and there was great calm. And then finally, when we heard from Revelation, God overcomes the sea. Before his throne is a sea of glass. No more chaos and death. It's completely smooth. Until finally, in the new heaven and the new earth, the sea is no more. Revelation 21:1. And this represents the final triumph of God's word over the watery chaos. Now, you might think that a Christian is immune from chaos, but not so. Think of your baptism. The Small Catechism tells us that baptism is water combined with God's word. And in your baptism, God throws you directly into the primeval battle recorded in the pages of Genesis. It's no surprise that the Christian life is one of struggle. Don't be deceived about the Christian life. It's not always that nice. When you look around you and see the other people in the room, you might be tempted to think that everyone else has it all together and that you're the only one that's in a mess. But what do you think the church is? Is it this calm place full of light in which we gather in orderly fashion, of course, at an appointed time to hear a few polished words of a fine rhetoric? Don't laugh. Are you supposed to nod in pious agreement with the words of the preacher and say to yourself, "Oh, that was nice"? We are baptized. That means we are all in the fight of our lives. So of course you are overwhelmed by chaos. That's the struggle. I'm not talking about just the superficial sins, like I got angry because somebody stepped on my toe, or you drive 45 miles in a 35 zone and get a ticket. No. What I mean is, your life isn't turning out the way you want it to. Maybe you've lost your parents when your friends haven't lost theirs. Or you're single and you don't see how you'll ever be married. Or you don't think God could possibly love you. Or you have doubts because Christianity just seems implausible after all you've been through. You're left out. Maybe the Christian life is full or at least livable for other nice people who have their lives nicely put together, but you think to yourself, "I will never thrive." Don't fall for that. These attacks don't define you, thankfully. What you are seeing here is a microcosm of what's playing out in the pages of Genesis. You look at that story in order to understand what is happening to you. These attacks are images of the primal force that are at play in creation itself. Whether it's chaos or God's own wrath, it's not always that easy to tell. This is the watery chaos that suffocates life. But the Catechism tells us that baptism is not just water, it's also God's word. God's word separates the waters from the waters and opens up a space where life can thrive. It divides the sea and lets the Israelites pass on dry ground. You can fight this battle and win because you have the word of God, at whose rebuke the waters fled, and which a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. My friends, this is the season of repentance. And in this season, we acknowledge that we've been overwhelmed by the forces of sin and evil in our own lives. But we also acknowledge that we have God's word, which is powerful to tear down those forces. Let the words of the psalmist, Psalm 46, give you assurance and comfort in your struggle. It says, the waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. We will not fear, though the earth gives way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. You see, God will not forsake those who put their trust in Him. And one day, one great and final day, the sea, that is the chaos of this life, will be no more. And we will live in the peace and security of Him whose word calms every storm. Remember that in Jesus' name. Amen.